pretty much what you did with me. Okay. Okay. So first number, and remember, I'll time each one so you can. Okay. So first, set your intention. Well, first, no, we have to decide who is speaking first. Okay. Okay. Raise your hand if you're speaking first. Okay. Every group has one person speaking first. Important. And then, okay, and so then, especially as a listener, set your intention to listen for the emotions and the needs, okay? So do that now. I'll ring the bell to start in about 15 seconds. Okay. Identifies maybe two or three emotions and two or three things that matter to the other person. Okay? About 2 minutes, not very long. About 15 seconds more. So I'll finish up with the listener, and now have the original speaker just say what that was like. What was it like to hear the other person? Was the person accurate? How did it feel to receive empathy? Okay, about a minute or two. So I'll finish up, and whatever way you like, thank your partner. Thank your partner, and now we'll switch roles. Okay? And maybe just take a moment to be silent right now. Maybe close your eyes and go inside. And how did it feel to practice empathy in a clear way, with clear intentions? We can open the eyes now. And we'll have the original listener become speaker, and the original speaker becomes a listener. Okay? So remember your 2-minute story. Okay? And remember for the don't start yet, but for the speaker, mostly just to tell your story, and then, yes, so we should, not to start yet, I'm going to give instructions, yeah. And so again, the instructions are for the speaker, just to tell your story, for the listener, to have a sense of listening for those two things, emotions and what matters, and you can use your sheet, if you wish, as you listen, okay? And again, we'll have, I think, 4 steps. Setting intentions, number 1. Number 2, the speaker speaks for about 2 minutes. Number 3, the listener says, here's what I heard. Here is a sense of the emotions and what matters. And then 4th, the original speaker gets to say how that was. You know, and again, as the listener is saying what the emotions were, the speaker, listen for how that feels for someone basically really interested in understanding you. Okay? Doesn't happen all the time, right? So just see how that feels, okay? So any questions about the instruction? Okay. So we'll start. Step number 1 is just to take about 15 seconds for intention. I'll ring the bell to start. And I'll time every step, okay? Okay. For the listener to say what you heard in terms of those two areas, okay? About 2 minutes. So about 15 seconds more. And now step number 4, have the speaker say what that was like to feel empathy. And you can also say, yes, you were, it was very accurate, you were such an empathic person, or whatever you want to say.
Thank you.
15 seconds or so. So to finish up, in order to be back, thank your partner. Let's, while you're with your partner, we'll just do one other thing, okay? You can stay with your partner for now. And just take about 3 minutes or so just to talk together, normal conversation, no structure. What was it like to practice empathy? Anything you learned, anything that was interesting for you? And do this with our earlier speech practice of trying to stay present some to yourself as you speak, okay? Or maybe using one of the guidelines. So try to stay a little bit just in your own experience, but mostly just speak about what was interesting, what you learned from that, what you might like to do, whatever you'd like to say, okay? So we'll start again in about 15 seconds. Set your intention to try to be present as you also speak. Just a little bit present. Could just be to feel the hands a little bit. That's enough. Okay? And I'll ring the bell in about 15 seconds. Okay. Thank you. come back to the whole group. You can face the front. And if something like we're doing, you could tell people outside it's okay to come in. Okay for people outside to come in. Yeah. So, just wanted to see if anyone had any observations or anything you wanted to share. What was that like? How many people had people you worked with who are empathic? Okay. So I think everyone is a very natural capacity, and then we have some time, so empathy is not so hard, is it? It's interesting, right? Any questions, observations of any kind? So this is not a complicated ability, is it? But you have to want to do it, right? You have to want to do it. Yeah. Did you want to?
To remember to do it.
It's not easy, right? Because do you remember all the reasons people identified why empathy is hard? What were some of them? Fear, anger, busyness, getting hooked by electronic media too much, right? What were some of the others?
No energy.
Yeah, but when you have good conditions, or just like here, empathy is not hard. And it's how many people felt it was very nice to be heard accurately. It's a good feeling, isn't it? Yeah, and it's not always so common, is it? How many times have you received empathy at work? Maybe some places, yeah, very good, right? But some places everyone's doing their work, right? Not so much empathy, right? At times, right? Any comments? Yeah.
How about when you want to be empathic for another person, but you don't really like or her story when he tells you something and your thoughts of what a horrible person, and you can't
relate it. I'm not sure I understood. Can you say it one more time? That there's a person you want to have empathy, right? But say again.
Sometimes you just don't relate. Like, for example, I had a ride in a taxi. And the taxi driver told me that he stalks his wife and she's crazy and he yelled at her on the phone. So I wanted to be empathic, but I couldn't.
Yeah, so some things lack empathy, and we can sometimes have, so maybe if you, something in you, maybe you think this is wrong or this you become, so some things are clearly harder for empathy. That's why I say we try to practice with almost everything where it's easier, right? And then something like that is hard, and maybe there are reasons for that, right? And we're getting into that a little bit more in a moment in terms, because we'll be having a little bit of an introduction to conflict. When there are conflicts or differences of view, sometimes the empathy is quite hard, right? Maybe you had a difference of view, you think?
I had a what?
You have differences of view or perspective with the other person? Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but they really wanted to do the right thing, they just didn't know what to do.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you can have empathy even no matter what the other person does. Right, so that's important, that empathy doesn't have to be mutual. You know, in fact, that's in a conflict, sometimes, or you have a difference with someone else, sometimes you can be empathic and the other person doesn't want to be, right? And just as a wall, right? And you can still have some empathy for that person. That's hard. That's hard practice, but empathy doesn't have to be like it was here, where it's mutual. Reciprocal, do you know those words? That it's, we're both doing it. So, and then there are certain conditions where empathy is hard, right? people have different views, or we get, again, everything people mention. Fear, being judgmental, anger, whatever. Okay? Yeah. Please.
I find it easy to have empathy to a difficult story.
Little louder, please. Yeah.
I find that it's easy to have empathy toward a difficult story.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
The pain of somebody. And so I can express easily my empathy. But when I hear a nice story or a natural, neutral story.
Yeah.
The empathy is so natural, I never thought about expressing the empathy to a story that is not difficult.
Yeah, so very interesting, yeah. Saying that for him, empathy is a little easier when the other person is talking about a difficulty. And it kind of connects with compassion, right? That there, you can feel, oh, I want to know what this person feels. You know, I want to help in some way. I want to be responsive. And when the story is more neutral or just ordinary, it's harder to have empathy.
I find that empathy is not something that I'm used to express.
Yeah, that empathy, many of us, we think, oh, someone is having a difficult time. Time for empathy and compassion, okay. Just ordinary conversation, oh, no need for empathy. Right? That's close to what you're saying. And that's very, how many can relate to that? Yeah, it's very common. And so what we can practice here is having empathy even where it's a little more ordinary type of situations. And what we can each find is Where does empathy happen more easily for me, and where is it more difficult? That's a question that's going to be different for different people. So for some people, empathy is difficult when there's no problem, right? For other people, empathy is difficult when we have different views, or I think I'm right. I have no empathy for the other person. Okay, I'm just right. Why should I have empathy for someone with bad views? Right? So here the suggestion is that empathy is good as a general practice. Yeah. Please.
I think the more you can develop empathy towards yourself,
yeah,
then the capacity to express it towards others is getting bigger.
Yeah, the more you can express empathy towards yourself, or maybe some kind of compassion to yourself, the more you can express it to others. And it's actually, many of you know, that is the basis in traditional Buddhist practice for how loving kindness is understood. They say first you have to develop loving kindness for yourself. That's according to the tradition. For many people, not so easy, right? Right? But in the tradition, you develop first towards yourself and then towards others. And that without some kindness and empathy towards yourself, it may be a little harder towards others. That, I think that's for some people. You know, I think this is where we get into social conditioning. You know, I think historically, particularly women were conditioned to have empathy towards others, but not towards themselves, right? There's a conditioning there. And so, or compassion, right? So it's an interesting one. Yeah. What was the last word?
Boundaries.
Yeah, so a question about empathy and boundaries. Like, how can you be empathic, but also keep your boundaries? And that could mean, for example, taking care of yourself, not just the other one, right? And this is related to your point, isn't it? right, that we would want to see that we also could have empathy and compassion for oneself. Some of the speech practice we were doing earlier, where you stay in yourself while being with others, when that is developed, that helps with that boundary issue. Because you know, a lot of times with compassion, we're just all with the other person, and we don't stay in ourselves. We don't stay aware of our own feelings or reactions. We're just trying to help. You know, in English, we would call that codependence. Do you use the same word here? Sometimes it's lack of boundaries. And so, giving attention. So I think it's a danger, but you would want to just make sure that you're giving attention to your own emotions and own needs. Staying in one's own body is a practice that will be helpful. Because usually when you lose your boundaries, you lose awareness of yourself. You're not in your body, right? So that can help. So it's a big issue. Probably we could take the next hour on that if we wanted to. So, but that would be a beginning. So maybe last one, then we'll have a transition. Yeah, please.
What is the intention or the idea behind being empathic towards someone who is completely non-empathic? Or someone that expresses really negative ideas or feelings, and is not aware of the fact that he is creating negativity. I would think that a person in that state needs some criticism or a mirror or something like that. I don't know what's the idea behind being.
Yeah. What is the idea of trying to be empathic towards someone who is maybe what? So what are your examples?
Spreading hate or
doing something negative.
Someone.
Yeah, doing something negative. First of all, I think the idea is it's connected with the distinction between need and strategy, and it goes into our next topic of it's really how do you develop empathy in difficult situations. And so it's really connected with the early Buddhist practice, which is actually to develop a kind heart towards every being. That's very ambitious, isn't it? It's very ambitious, but that is clearly the motivation, right? And so a few things to be said. One can have empathy, and so you might, but remember that one of the points would be that you can have empathy and you can see the difference between what matters for the person and the bad strategy. Usually, remember, according to nonviolent communication, the need or what matters is always positive, even if someone is acting very, very badly, very unskillfully. That's sometimes hard to see, right? Very hard to see. But again, you can usually see there's something actually valuable. Remember the example, okay, the alcoholic has a need for peace. The strategy is a very, very bad strategy, right? And so this is kind of advanced practice. Can I see, you know, something universal and human in someone who I think is being hateful, right? And it's a lot of tricky aspects of this. And the other thing is that having empathy doesn't determine how you act. You can have empathy and still act very firmly. You know, I'll give some examples of this, in areas that I know well. Martin Luther King, if you study his life and you study some of his examples, he often would talk to people who were white, very racist, right? He would talk to them, and he would try to understand them. You know, even if they were saying very hateful things. And he wanted to kind of understand what was there for them, what was their experience. As he actually, you know, so he would just, maybe talk with people and ask them, what kind of work do you do? You know, how much money do you make? And something like this, and just find out what's your family like. And he would talk to people who had very hateful ideas. They were not necessarily being hateful with him when they were talking, but maybe other times they were. And what he actually found is that they were actually just as bad off, many of these people, as the African Americans. And being willing to talk with them, he could learn this. So he could learn how they were basically being manipulated by the people in power, right? They were very bad off, but he would actually connect with them and have some empathy and see how they were actually very confused and were actually, what they were doing was actually not in their own interest. That's an example of someone being empathic with someone who is saying very hateful things, right? You know, that's one example, you know. And other examples might be harder, but does that make some sense? And he actually could understand them. For him, it was important to understand them. For, you know, and again, this is in, he was coming more from a Christian perspective, but for him, it was important to understand the people who he thought were his enemies, right? On the other side. And because he had the model in that approach, he had the model that the aim of working with conflict is actually to have a reconciliation and connection, even with people who are outwardly hateful at first. So that's his vision of practice. So it led him to talk, you know, to talk with people who, you know, a lot of his people maybe in his movement would never want to talk with them, you know, too hateful, right? But he did. So does that give some little bit of idea? It's interesting, isn't it? It's very beautiful to read some of those stories, yeah. Okay, I wanted to have a transition. Okay, maybe I'll be brief with you. Okay, what?
Okay, it's just a follow-up.
Okay.
So, I understand the need to look at someone, like, be compassionate and understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
I know that is relatively easy, but then there's the action that you disagree with that might be harmful to someone
yeah.
else.
Yeah, well, see, the practice of doing empathy, you know, maybe that would come first. And, you know, sometimes, you know, then the action will be very different depending on the circumstances. So Martin Luther King, to stay with that example, he would try to listen to people, but he would still do his actions that would go in the opposite direction. Right? He would still be acting very strongly, very firmly, but he had this idea that, you know, it was very similar to Gandhi. Gandhi said, you know, I want the British to leave India as friends, right? He said that. A lot of people didn't like that, right? But King was similar. So he had this idea that he wants to act very firmly, very strongly, but still had the idea, he didn't use the word empathy so much, but it was more like, you know, to understand them and to be able to speak with them, not to take them as my permanent enemies, right? And so, you know, and there's some really amazing stories that you can read if you read that history, you know, of changes. Just a little one? Okay.
Martin Luther King quote that illustrates what this idea was.
Yeah.
That darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that.
Yeah.
And hatred cannot drive out hatred, only love can do that.
Yeah, he said only love can end hatred. You have the same thing in the Dhammapada. On your stand up on your it's on your t-shirt. See? This is from the Buddha, from that's from Christian tradition, this is from Buddhist tradition.
I can see.
Can you?
Hatred never ceases with hatred, with love alone is healed. This is an ancient
This is an ancient truth, yeah. So that's in the Dhammapada. Also, you can get it on your t-shirt. And but again, that's difficult, right? If we want to put this into practice, we need to develop in the ways that we're doing here. That is the vision, though. That is the vision of where we are going. It's not easy, right? And, you know, we all have places where our mind just says, I can't go there, right? But that's where we keep on, you know, keep on asking questions, exploring. But at least, does it make some sense now? that the idea is, you know, so maybe we'll talk more about that. So I wanted to, I'll just talk for a few more minutes now, then we'll have walking meditation, then we'll meet outside, because we want to have a transition really similar. It's really based on what we've been discussing the last 10 minutes, that some kinds of empathy are easier and some are harder, as we've discussed. Empathy is harder when there's anger, when there's fear, when there is busyness, when there are certain kinds of conflict. And it's also very hard for us to continue with our practice of mindfulness, of kindness, of wisdom in those kind of situations. And so what we want to do next, and I'll just say a few minutes that we have walking, is to, we want to start to look at how we work with conflict as a kind of practice. And we'll do a few things, but I think it's first important to define, give a definition of conflict. I'm using conflict simply to mean that there is a difference. It's a difference of views, or a difference of values, or a difference of what we want, what's important. And so by this way of using conflict, it does not necessarily mean that there is anger or hostility or aggression. And I think that's quite important, because many of us, we were saying we have avoidance of conflict. We don't like conflict because we associate it with very negative things. But it's, I think, important to have a reframing and to see that conflict is about difference. So I was giving the example, talking with the some of the service retreatants just earlier this afternoon, and I gave the example of one cook wants one dish, another cook wants to make another dish. That's a conflict, right? And hopefully not the most serious conflict. Could become very serious, but not here, maybe. Okay? But that is a conflict, you know, and actually how you settle that, in essence, is not that different from how you settle really difficult conflicts. Another example might be, we are painting our house. I want to paint the house blue. My partner wants to paint it red. Okay? And we have a conflict, right? And how do we deal with that? Right? And it could involve anger, but not necessarily, right? Or I want, you know, two people. I want to go to this cafe. My friend wants to go to that cafe. How do you deal with it? That's a conflict. Okay? And there also are conflicts between positions, between ideas, and so forth. So I think that's very important, because it can help us to look at conflict a little bit differently, not so negatively. You know, and many of us grew up conflict avoidant, and that's very strong in most societies. Not all, there are differences. And I grew up that way. I grew up not wanting to deal with conflict. And as I study conflict a lot, I get very excited by being with certain kinds of conflict, you know. Like maybe, you know, I have differences. I have a few friends that I teach with, and when we have differences, in a way conflict, we just look at them very directly, and it can be, you know, sometimes a little bit of a, but generally it can be wonderful learning if we approach it with the right attitude. And so if you actually approach looking at conflict with a different attitude, it can actually be very interesting and a great source of learning, right? And so every family, every organization, and of course every society has conflicts. And the question is, how can we work with them in a skillful way without, and take them as being something that we can bring practice to. So that's what we'll look at. But I wanted to give that definition before we start, because so we can understand conflict. Really the key, conflict means difference of views or values. or what we want. Okay? Okay? So why don't we just do a minute or two of meditation, and then we'll have some walking meditation, just a little bit of transition back into silence.